In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Oh, a little louder. Christ is among us. It's Palm Sunday, great feast day, happy feast day to everybody, especially those who may be visiting us, may be new to the Byzantine liturgy. After last Sunday, the Sunday Mary of Egypt, St. Mary of Egypt, the church in her liturgy begins to turn our focus to Holy Week, Great and Holy Week. If you prayed any of last Tuesday's liturgical services, you had already heard that 4 days before the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the church recalls when Jesus Christ is first informed of his good friend Lazarus's plight. And as the days continue to Saturday, the church in her hymns and in her verses accompanies Jesus of Nazareth towards Bethany, toward the tomb of Lazarus. Then on Friday evening, the eve of the celebration for this special great feast in the church of raising Lazarus from the dead, you'll hear the words, "The great and saving 40 days of great Lent came to an end, and great Holy Week commences." So our 40 days of great Lent actually ended Friday evening. Saturday, going into Saturday then, begins Great and Holy Week. So unlike the Westerners that begin Holy Week on Palm Sunday, our Holy Week began Friday night. A verse from Friday Vespers says, quote, "Count as worthy, beholding the week of your passion, O lover of mankind, for we have completed the 40 days of the fast for the profit of our souls." End of quote. Indeed, then, the event of Lazarus begins Great and Holy Week. It is the prelude of the universal resurrection awaiting all those who have been buried with Christ in baptism. Such is the teaching of the Troparia, sung yesterday, and they're again repeated today. They don't change. The Troparia, the first Troparion, says, quote, "O Christ God, when you raised Lazarus from the dead before the time of your passion, you confirmed the resurrection of all." So we can already see the event of raising Lazarus from the dead is the prelude, is telling us everything about what this next week, what this week is going to culminate in and the purpose of it. And then the second Troparion says, "We have been baptized with you in baptism, O Christ, our God, and we merited eternal life through your resurrection." So this is where it's all going. So everything that happened when the Lord stood before the tomb of Lazarus and called him forth, everything, there's the prelude of what this entire week is all about. So raising Lazarus from the dead, that was actually the last major event recorded in the Gospels before our Lord made his triumphal entry into the holy city, Jerusalem. Today, Palm Sunday. Thus do we begin the second great day of Holy Week. The Lord is ascending to Jerusalem. Why? To die. No great prophet died outside of Jerusalem. And Christ, as the prophet, is going to Jerusalem to die. Nevertheless, when Jesus the Christ is lifted up on the cross, his prophecy is fulfilled. He said in John's gospel, "When I am raised, when I am lifted up, I will draw all mankind to myself." What does that mean? I will draw all mankind back to God. That is what he's doing. So when he's lifted up on the cross, he is lifting all of creation back up to God. Today, the ascent begins. And accompanying our Lord's ascent are all these people, numerous people. Who are they? Well, as the Lord began his journey from Galilee up to Judea, if you read the Gospels, there's all these healings taking place, and the Lord's giving these teachings. And as the Lord heals the people, and as he gives his teachings, people start following him. They're saying, "This is the one." They start wondering, "Is this the Messiah? Is this the promised one?" And so all these people start, they accompany him on the way from the region of Galilee to the region of Judea. And upon the Lord's entry into the holy city, these people have seen the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, and we hear in the gospel that they hear that he's at Lazarus' house. They're going there, and the Lord begins, Bethany's not too far from Jerusalem, he begins his journey into Jerusalem. And all the people are really thinking, "This is the one. We have been waiting for this Messiah to come, to liberate us, to free us from oppression." And so they grab these palm branches, and they start singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Quoting Psalms 120 to 130. Each year, millions of Catholics throughout the world richly commemorate and experience anew this very biblical event. It is, however, more than simply commemorating a past historical event. We're not just reenacting something that happened long ago. We're just not recalling to mind something like when we read about World War II and some history of World War II or World War I or the Civil War. You know, you go to some of these pageants and you have some men dressed in the Confederacy uniform, you have some men dressed in the Yankee uniform, and you're watching a reenactment of Gettysburg. Okay, they're watching an event that happened in the past. That is not what we're doing today, and that is not what we're doing this entire week. We are not recalling past historical events. We are really, truly right now, in a mystical way, experiencing all the depth and richness of Holy Week. And to grasp the full meaning of today's liturgical experience, we must first understand what the Lord himself was doing. He made his ascent to Jerusalem. Why? It was a time of Passover, the commemoration of Israel's liberation from Egypt and the hope of its definitive liberation. Jesus of Nazareth knew that this new Passover awaited him. He knew that the cross was the new Passover from death to life. And that what happened in Egypt with Moses was simply a prototype, was simply the preparation for what the real Passover of the waters was going to be. It's going to be a real Passover from death into life, into a new land, the promised land, not physical property. No, the new land of heaven, land where God is. And he would give himself over to you and me in the gifts of bread and wine, his own self. And that selfless gift would open a new path of liberation. And what is that liberation? Not physical freedom on earth from an oppressive government, from an oppressive regime like the Romans or the Pharaoh or whoever it might be. No, liberation from sin and death. It was to be a liberation in God. That communion with God. That is what is going on. That's the Passover. We are no longer enslaved to our passions, enslaved to death, enslaved to sin. No, in Christ, all there is victory over sin and death. The ultimate goal of his ascent, his pilgrimage, his procession, is communion with God. Our procession then today, in this liturgy, is a movement, a procession in union with Jesus of Nazareth. In him, with him, and through him. A pilgrimage toward communion with God. This is the ascent that matters in our personal lives. Nonetheless, as we read throughout the entire sacred scriptures and we read in lives and teachings of our fathers and mothers of the church, the human person, what is our experience? Two gravitational pulls. One toward disordered self-love and the other toward selfless, divine, agape love. One is toward self-absorption and the world that revolves around me, and the other is about how I live in communion through selflessly with others. The divine liturgy directs you and me toward the Godward pilgrimage, toward the Godward procession. When the priest faces the icon and he says, "Lift up your hearts." The heart. Biblically, the heart is the center of the human person. It's the core of one's existence, where body, soul, and spirit all converge. It's where feeling and willing and understanding meet. The heart, when you read the Bible, is the place of true encounter with God. When the church talks about prayer, when the Lord teaches about prayer, what it's really telling us is how to go into the heart to encounter God, because that's where he's going to encounter you. St. Paul says, in your heart, in the depth of your being, the Holy Spirit is groaning the petitions you need to pray. And ours is to learn how to listen to the heart and hear God and what he wants us to pray and how to pray. And by our own efforts, you and I cannot lift our hearts to God. It is impossible. We will fail every time. It is God who draws you and me to him. It is God who draws your heart and mind to his. And it began with Christ on the cross, when he hung on the cross, through crucified love, through agape, charity, selfless love. It has all these different names. What happens on that cross, crucified love? The Lord purifies our hearts. He purifies our hearts of disordered self-love. Great and Holy Week, then, is not the mere commemoration of past historical events. No. You and I truly, really accompany the Lord Jesus in this divine ascent, this divine pilgrimage toward communion with divine love. And in this procession, should we make it with the Lord, what happens? We shall see the face of God. And the Bible says, the man or the woman who sees the face of God lives. Making the effort, therefore, to attend the liturgical services this entire week expresses concretely your desire and mine to be made righteous, to be made pure. We don't go to God. He comes to us and prepares us to meet him. The action united with voice in these liturgies speaks to God these words: Lord, draw me upwards to see you, that I may see your face and live. Christ is among us.